The Heaven Field, a novel by I.G. Hume, read by the author. Episode 24, A Hidden Hope.
"It looks like you're too late," said Grace, gazing out over the plain that fell away from the rocky outcrop where they stood. She felt the gaping muzzle of the gun pressed against her side as Alex peered beyond the ring of soldiers, following her gaze. Thomas stood awkwardly next to them. About 20 armored troops were regarding them suspiciously from the perimeter of the doorway, fingering their weapons, unsure of what to do next. The bulk of the security contingent had taken up defensive positions along the ridge overlooking the plain, and were now viewing the spectacle below.
"It's all right, guys," said Grace, trying to sound calm. "It's Dr. Palmer. You can let us through."
A tall, bulky figure stepped out from the circle of troops.
"Is everything all right, Dr. Palmer?" he asked in a gruff voice. "It isn't safe for you to be here."
"Just stand aside," said Alex sternly, walking forward, holding Grace's arm, the gun still pressed into her side.
"What's going on, Dr. Palmer?" asked the soldier in confusion.
"Just let us past. It'll be all right," stuttered Grace anxiously.
The circle parted slowly, and Alex, with Grace and Thomas in front of him, made their way cautiously between the ranks.
"What's happening?" growled Alex, nodding his head towards the plain.
Two dark masses of troops and vehicles were stationary at either side of the wide, gently sloping valley. Various aircraft of different sizes flitted above each army like angry wasps.
"We don't know yet," said the soldier warily, holding his gun ready. "When we came through a couple of hours ago, the area was deserted. Then a few outlying craft from one of the armies hit us about an hour ago, but we repelled them without any casualties. They were just a reconnaissance party. A little while ago they came over the hill."
He motioned to the forces on the right-hand side of the valley. Alex recognized the markings and designs of the vehicles as his former allies under Dr. Henschel.
"They started moving towards us, and we were ready to fall back when those others appeared from nowhere. And they've been sat looking at each other ever since."
"Have you made contact with either side?"
he asked. He peered across the shallow, sloping plain, trying to see any distinguishing features on the distant opposing army, but they were non-visible to the naked eye.
"None yet, apart from a few shots fired," said the soldier.
"No matter. Let's go, Grace,"
muttered Alex, pushing her forward.
"Just who are you, sir?"
asked the soldier, confronting Alex suspiciously.
"It's all right. Just let him past," said Grace,
feeling the gun press harder into her side.
"I need authorization from a military superior if I'm to—"
"If you don't do it," said Grace sternly, "he's going to shoot me."
The soldier took a step back in surprise, raising his gun. The other soldiers followed suit. Thomas cringed in terror. He hated being locked inside the heavy suits anyway, and the prospect of being shot again was too much. It was all he could do to stop his legs from buckling underneath him.
"Stand down," yelled Alex. "Everybody just relax and lower your weapons."
The soldier in command looked towards Grace in confusion. She gave him a reassuring nod, and with a sigh he motioned to his men, and they slowly lowered their guns.
"Okay," he whispered to Alex. "Just take it easy."
"Sir, Colonel Boyne's for you, sir,"
called an orderly across the red-lit operations room.
"On my screen," snapped Spears angrily.
The anxious face of Colonel Herman Boynes flickered into the large panel at Spears's desk, breaking up and distorting with the interference from the atmosphere.
"What's going on?" demanded Spears furiously. "I ordered an attack. Why the hell aren't you attacking?"
Boynes's voice came back faint and interspersed with static.
"Sir, I have specific orders to ascertain contact with the unknown forces. I am under a strict mandate not to initiate a preemptive strike, nor to provide—"
"That mandate is bullshit out here," exploded Spears in his high-pitched anger. "I gave you an order, Boynes. We must strike while we have a chance."
"With respect, sir," came back Colonel Boynes's stern voice. "I was given clear orders before entering the field. I was handed express jurisdiction over military strategy,
and I will not commit to action until we have made every attempt to contact the opposing forces.
I told you! I am giving you a direct order, Colonel!
Yelled Spears hysterically. I'm sorry, sir, but the President was quite clear on his expectations. I thought you would have been made aware of... Spears punched a button in disgust, and the monitor screen went blank. He bit nervously at his fingernails, his eyes darting about in panic, expecting at any moment to see the naked girl materialize before him. She would not be pleased at his failure.
Where is it?
Cursed Alex in frustration, peering nervously over his shoulder for any sign that they were being followed. He had marched Grace and Thomas over the high bluff of rock and out into the collection of ruined buildings which Thomas had visited upon his first trip into the field.
Where is it?
He shouted again, shaking Thomas by the arm. He shrugged anxiously, trying to back away from the ferocious man and stumbling on the rubble.
Leave him alone, Alex, said Grace worriedly. He doesn't know what you're talking about. Oh, but he does. Don't you, Sullivan?
Alex's eyes were frantic and wide with mania.
You've seen it, haven't you? Where is it?
He screamed in anger at the terrified young man.
I don't know,
sobbed Thomas.
It just appeared.
What? What are you talking about?
Hissed Grace, not daring to take her eyes off Alex as he paced back and forth in fury.
The angel,
whispered Alex, looking up, his eyes gleaming with delight.
You've seen it. I can tell. I can tell.
His gaze darted off to the myriad shapes of light fleeting about Thomas's body.
Thomas?
Asked Grace again.
It's true,
sighed Thomas feebly.
I didn't want to tell anyone. I don't know why. It was the creature we saw in the square.
I spoke to it.
He looked away guiltily.
You spoke? Thomas, why didn't you tell me?
Asked Grace tenderly.
So where is it?
Cut in Alex with a cracking voice of frustration. He held his head in his hands as the pain ran through him.
I think the square was up there.
Thomas pointed forlornly up through the oppressive buildings.
That's better,
grunted Alex, and motioned them up the street. They reached the square out of breath and dusty. The ruined statue lay in pieces in the center of the cobbles.
So, where now?
Shouted Alex desperately.
I told you, it just appeared,
stuttered Thomas. He felt sick to his stomach, and his limbs shook with fear.
He doesn't know, Alex,
snapped Grace angrily.
Just give yourself up. Let's put an end to it. Just shut up,
shouted Alex. He put his hands to his head and swayed a little. The pain threatened to swamp him like a wave. He saw bright figures before and behind him, illuminating the security team who had followed from the doorway. They were hidden from view, but the lights of Alex's vision gave them away.
We must find it,
he whimpered quietly to himself. He let his gun fall through his limp fingers and slumped to his knees, vainly trying to shut out the throbbing in his head. Thomas looked around wildly. He didn't know what to do. It seemed like their one chance of escape, but he was too afraid to move. Grace glanced up at him. She appeared to be thinking the same thought. She went to take a step away from where Alex knelt, but his hand shot out and grabbed her arm. His eyes were still closed.
The angel, Grace. We must find it. They will listen then.
His voice was a dry rasp, and he swayed slowly. Thomas thought he heard a movement in the shadows. He looked around, still not daring to move, and saw Sanders crouching a little way off. He beckoned Thomas towards him. Thomas stared at Grace. She nodded gently and gave him a reassuring smile.
What good do you think it can do?
Asked Grace quietly. She moved around a little so as to block Alex's view.
I don't know. I don't know,
he muttered, his eyes still closed in pain. Thomas gave Grace a long, sad look. Then gathering all his courage, he took a hesitant step away. Not daring to breathe, he moved slowly towards the shadows where Sanders waited. Every step took a lifetime, and each moment Thomas expected Alex to notice his absence, and a burst of gunfire would erupt in his back. Nearer and nearer he crept. His legs were like jelly, and would barely support him any further. Then Sanders had hold of him, pulling him silently down the alley at great speed. A shriek of despair exploded from behind, followed quickly by a rain of energy blasts which tore at the buildings around them.
"What about Grace?"
gasped Thomas in panic, as they pulled up outside a ruined low tenement building, its open doorway threatening darkness. Sanders didn't answer. He stiffened as if sensing danger.
"Drop the weapon," came a gruff shout from behind them.
Sanders seemed to consider for a moment, then tossed the heavy rifle to the floor.
"Okay, turn around, slowly."
Thomas and Sanders both turned to see a short but stocky figure, his gun trained on them.
"Well, it seems you are popular today, Mr. Sullivan. I've had trouble keeping up with you. And you, Sanders, isn't it? No sudden movements, and everything will be just fine."
"Who are you?" grunted Sanders.
"Just move away from the boy," muttered the man, waving his gun at them.
Sanders took a step away from Sullivan. He looked poised, ready for a chance to spring.
"The name's Carl Gutteridge, and I'm sorry, but I just can't trust you," said the man matter-of-factly, and fired a searing burst of energy directly into Sanders' body.
Even as Thomas cried out in disbelief, the blast threw him away from Sanders, who slumped to the floor and lay still. Thomas felt time slow down. He was flung into the dark doorway and came to rest at the top of a flight of steps. He saw the figure turn to him, and in a panic look back to where Sanders had fallen. In desperation, Thomas pushed off from where he lay and rolled over the top step. The stairs were steep, and he quickly gained momentum, thudding and crashing down in a whirlwind. The heavy padding of his suit cushioned the worst of the fall, and eventually he came to rest in darkness. He heard a curse and looked up to see Gutteridge silhouetted against the open doorway, far above him.
"Don't make this any harder than it has to be, Thomas," he heard the man growl as he started to descend the steps.
But Thomas was already up, running down the dark corridors, which he suddenly realized, with the faintest of hope, he thought he recognized.
"Stay close, Dr. Palmer," whispered one of the soldiers nervously, as the small group picked their slow way back up the slope towards the doorway.
"Are they going to attack?"
croaked Grace, anxiously glancing up towards the dark silhouettes of the field ships, which hovered noisily a little way off. The lead soldier didn't answer, but carried on his cautious ascent of the dusty path. The two ships had remained stationary, observing the group ever since the start of their journey back from the ruins. There were 12 British soldiers, plus Grace and Alex. Grace shot a furtive glance across at the small man, now escorted between two guards, his hands cuffed in front of him. She caught a glimpse of tears glistening on his cheeks behind his dusty visor, and felt a sudden connection with her erstwhile captor. Whatever the horrors he had done in the past, she thought, she would never forget the cry of anguish he had uttered upon Thomas's escape. It was clear to her that Alex certainly believed in his quest to save the world from war, and for a while Grace was secretly almost swept along with the fire of his belief. But with Thomas's escape, any hopes of Alex finding his angel seemed dashed, and the man had simply crumpled to his knees in despair, and the security teams had moved in, freeing Grace. Now they were returning to the doorway, with the threat of two enemy ships hovering above them, whilst others whizzed to and fro in the distance like a swarm of angry bees. Grace cast an anxious glance behind her, hoping for some glimpse of Thomas and Sanders, but their disappearance still remained a mystery. Upon capturing Alex, the security team had followed in their direction, before hearing the single retort of a gun, but they had found no trace, nor were they able to raise them on the comlink. The lead soldier held up his arm and the group came to a sudden halt. Grace found herself crouching nervously next to Alex, just below the crest of the ridge. She shot a glance towards him, but he didn't look up. His face remained downcast and his lips uttered silent words. Grace wondered if he were praying. The lead soldier crept to the crest of the rocky ridge and peered over. The two ships still hovered ominously not 50 yards away.
"Why weren't the attackers?"
hissed Grace, but Alex didn't appear to hear her. He was still lost in his silent reverie.
"Alex!"
she hissed again. He looked up, startled and forlorn.
"They fear me," he croaked through parched lips. "But they hate me more," he added almost inaudibly. "It won't be long now."
Grace peered over at the squat shapes of the ugly craft. The slit windows of their cockpits were like vicious eyes following them. The lead soldier motioned the group to follow, and they set off towards the short descent which led down to the entry point, back to Molnsworth, and safety. The moment they reached the top of the ridge, the two craft gunned their engines and started towards them, turbines kicking up clouds of red dust behind them. The group looked around in panic. It would be useless to run, and there was no cover on the top of the bare ridge. Below them, out on the vast, curving plain which had once been tall, lush grass, Grace could see the two armies lined up against each other. Dark vehicles and aircraft filled each side of the shallow valley, and a great cloud of red dust hung above the scene. She watched aghast, as slowly the two forces of tanks and tracked vehicles set off down the gentle slopes towards each other, steadily gaining momentum. The ground shook and the air around them throbbed, as tens of aircraft screeched above, hurtling towards the centre of the plain. A low boom behind her, and Grace spun around, suddenly remembering the two approaching craft. With a deafening roar, the two ships wheeled overhead, streaking back towards the clashing armies. A cloud of dust rose up at their passing, and as it cleared, Grace was sickened to see a group of soldiers solidify in front of her, their weapons aimed straight at the group. Gutteridge padded silently down the dark corridor, his movements light and easy, even in his heavy suit. He approached a turn in the tunnel and stopped, cocking his head on one side to listen. With a barely perceptible whine, his gun charged, and he hefted it around the corner. A burst of energy shot down into the blackness, and would have found its target, but Thomas Sullivan had just managed to pull closed the heavy iron door with which he had been struggling. Gutteridge cursed quietly to himself as he checked his gun. The power pack was depleted. He dropped the encumbering weapon to the floor with a clatter, and made for the door through which Thomas had disappeared. An iron bar mechanism opened it without trouble, and he found himself in some sort of rudimentary airlock. Beyond it, Gutteridge came across Thomas's helmet and backpack, hastily discarded upon the floor. He stopped and listened again in the maze of dark tunnels. A muffled footstep echoed to his left. He rounded the corner, and there in the shadows, crouched against the wall of a dead end, was Sullivan, wide-eyed like a trapped animal. Gutteridge slowly removed his helmet, letting it fall noisily to the floor, and walked calmly towards the frightened young man.
"Okay, I told you already. Don't make this hard on yourself," he murmured, methodically pulling off his heavy gauntlets.
Thomas made an attempt to run, but Gutteridge easily caught hold of Thomas's collar and swung him lazily to the floor. As Thomas crashed to the slimy concrete, he caught sight of something blur through the air, striking Gutteridge on the side of his temple. The squat man cursed and staggered, looking up in time to see a figure crash into him, sending him reeling. Thomas scrabbled to his knees and saw Gutteridge's helmet come to rest beside him. He realized it was this which had struck the man. Now in front of Thomas, between himself and Gutteridge stood Sanders, stooping badly, cradling his left arm. Blood dripped freely from his fingers. Gutteridge stood poised a few feet away from him, feeling the gash on his forehead. He smiled grimly.
"Come on, Sanders. You know how this plays out. I just want the boy. That's my orders."
Thomas shuffled up against the wall, scrambling to his feet.
"I've got my orders too," gasped Sanders.
He swayed a little. His eyes looked glazed. Gutteridge made a sudden feint, and Sanders staggered as he tried to anticipate him.
"You don't look too good there, Sanders," sighed Gutteridge. "Just step down and we can get you seen to. We need guys like you on the team."
"Fuck you," gasped Sanders, then tried to counter as Gutteridge made a sudden lunge for Thomas. He stumbled, and Gutteridge had planted three swift blows to Sanders' face before Thomas knew what was happening. Gutteridge lashed out with his boot as Sanders went down, connecting with his wounded arm. The small man crouched and whipped out a thin bladed knife from somewhere on his boot, kneeling quickly to where Sanders lay coughing on his own blood. He grabbed Sanders' chin from behind and drew the blade across his throat. Thomas hurled his body into them with as much force as he could manage, knocking them off balance.
"I'll deal with you in good time," cursed Gutteridge,
headbutting Thomas squarely in the face. Thomas cried out and fell back, but at the same moment he heard Gutteridge shriek also. Dimly, through his tears, Thomas saw Gutteridge fall backwards, clutching his hand. He slumped onto his back, his face contorted in agony. In a swift movement, Sanders rolled and brought his massive hand down on Gutteridge's throat. There was a sickening, guttural crunch, and Gutteridge lay still. Sanders staggered to his feet and spat something onto the lifeless man. It was Gutteridge's thumb. Thomas turned away as Sanders brought his boot down on the unmoving figure. The crunch made Thomas vomit painfully onto the floor.
"Come on, Thomas," gasped Sanders.
Thomas looked up. There was a thin red wound across Sander's throat, but it didn't look too deep. He scrambled to his feet, and the two men staggered as best they could down the dark corridor. At the next junction, Sander started off down the way they had come.
"No, this way,"
stuttered Thomas, pausing at the intersection. Sander gave him a weary look of questioning.
"We need help,"
muttered Thomas by way of explanation, and darted off into the gloom.
"Alex, what can we do? How can we fight them?"
Grace shook him by the shoulders in desperation.
"Why are they afraid of you?"
she called again, but the small man was unresponsive. The enemy soldiers approached warily from two sides, and the Maundsworth security team, upon seeing the futility of their position, dropped their weapons and raised their arms in surrender. The lead enemy trooper pushed his way through the group, heading straight for Grace and Alex. The two phosphorescent lamps of his eyes burned pale green in his dark face mask. He reached the point where Grace and Alex knelt, and without pause pushed her roughly out of the way. One of the Maundsworth group went to respond, but he was held by an enemy trooper. Grace looked up from where she had fallen. The soldier hefted his heavy weapon and charged it. He pushed the muzzle roughly against the side of Alex's helmet, but the small man seemed unaware of his surroundings. He knelt upon the dusty red rock, his hands tied in front of him and his eyes closed. His lips still moved feverishly, but he made no sound.
"Sir!"
A shout came from the far side of the ridge. There was a tense moment and time seemed to slow down. Grace held her breath and stared at Alex, the gun still to his temple as he mouthed his silent prayers. The soldier seemed to tense a moment, then lowered his gun a little, cocking his head to one side as if listening. Then Grace noticed it too. She staggered slowly to her feet. There was silence all around. The low rumble of vehicles and gunfire had ceased, and the sounds of aircraft were winding down as they landed. Grace followed the direction of all the heads around her. All eyes were upon the plane. The two forces had stopped, barely 50 yards apart. Smoke curled lazily from the burning wreckage of several vehicles. Lines of infantry stood opposite each other. Every one of them had their attentions fixed on the very centre of the plane. Grace made out three figures of very different proportions. She almost shrieked with joy as she recognised the orange suit and awkward stance of Thomas Sullivan, and she hoped against hope that his taller companion was Sanders. But towering over the two was another suited figure, which she recognised instantly. It was the entity which she had beseeched for help when Thomas had lain injured. It was the Angel. Thomas held on to Sanders as best he could in an attempt to support him, but the weight of the big man was too much for him to bear.
"It's okay, Thomas," croaked Sanders, the pain heavy in his voice. "Just let me down. I'll sit for a while."
Thomas helped him unsteadily down to the red rock, and the big man crumpled to the earth, wincing in agony. The ugly black scorch mark over his left arm and stomach had been patched up by the Angel. Thomas could see the charred flesh beneath the transparent sealing substance which the Angel had used. He looked into Sander's face, a grim mask of pain beneath his dusty visor. His eyes betrayed the horrors he must have seen after being shot by Gutteridge. His suit breached. Thomas wondered how the big man had managed to survive the terrifying exposure to the atmosphere before he reached the airlock and the safety of the Angel's tunnels. Thomas shuddered as he recalled the time his own suit had been holed.
"I'm okay,"
coughed Sanders, catching Thomas's look of concern.
"Go on, you're needed."
Thomas looked round in confusion, following Sanders' gaze. He stood up nervously beside the towering bulk of the Angel. With a low screech of metal, the corroded helmet of its ungainly head turned to appraise him through dark eyepieces. To Thomas's shock, he noticed the top layer of the Angel's armour blister and steam, as if it were attacked by the atmosphere.
"It'll be all right,"
Thomas found himself saying. And then, to his surprise, he placed a reassuring hand upon the Angel's massive suited arm. The roar of the vehicles and aircraft had long since ceased, but Thomas could make out their shadowy silhouettes in the gloom, oppressive and malevolent, still ready to burst once more into life. Through the billowing clouds of red dust, he became aware of the sound of boots crunching over the rocks. Three figures approached them cautiously, looming out of the haze like ghosts. They were identically dressed to the three soldiers that had attacked him in the concourse, in a time that seemed so long ago. Thomas's legs shook, and he felt his head swim. He barely had the strength to hold himself upright. The three figures came within 10 feet of the angel, before stopping and viewing them, emotionless through their luminous green goggles. There was an awkward silence, as the two groups regarded each other, seemingly unsure of what to say.
"Is it really an angel?"
The words stuttered from the central of the three figures, his voice heavy with disbelief and awe.
"Yes,"
croaked Thomas, as his great companion remained silent and immovable.
"An angel."
The central figure seemed overwhelmed. He stumbled heavily to one knee and bowed his head in reverie. Self-consciously and with some confusion, his two companions followed suit.
"I'm Miloslav Vladić," stuttered the central figure. "All this, our holy war, we fight to preserve the field for you. We are your servants."
The angel appeared lifeless, its deep-set eyepieces unreadable. Then slowly, with a subterranean squeal of tortured metal, the angel straightened its body, lifting itself up to its full height. A single word boomed deep, filled with sorrow and grief. The sound resonated all around the plain.
"No."
"You, come with me," grunted the soldier upon his return. "And you too."
He turned to Grace as two soldiers led Alex down towards the plane, leaving the small British security group still nervously waiting at the crest of the ridge. Grace quickly caught up with Alex, and the two walked back down the dusty path, surrounded by a small group of guards who escorted them in the direction of the two armies. Grace looked ahead in anticipation, but a cloud of dust had obscured Thomas and the angel. She could make out the dark silhouettes of the tanks and vehicles of the two forces, which still regarded each other in ominous silence. She glanced across at Alex, and this time he returned her gaze as they walked. He had a look of desperate hope about him, and strode forward eagerly. Grace couldn't believe that a moment before he had faced execution. The group picked their way through the silent vehicles, their crews looking on in confusion and anticipation. Soon the towering shape of the angel was visible, looming out of the dust. Grace gave a cry of joy and pushed her way past the guards. She had spied Thomas standing nervously in the centre of an arc of suited figures. Ignoring the others, she forced her way through the group and wrapped the surprised young man in her arms. He gave out a startled yell.
"Thomas!"
beamed Grace.
"I can barely believe you're alive. I'd almost given up hope."
Thomas looked at the floor in embarrassment, but he smiled to see her safe.
It's good to see you're okay, Grace,"
he stammered quietly. Grace looked around as Alex stepped into the ring of figures. There were angry mutterings from the half of the group who wore the suits of Alex's former allies. Grace noted that the other half of the group bore American insignia upon their suits.
"What's going on?"
whispered Grace, looking up nervously at the oppressive bulk of the motionless angel, then spotted a figure being taken away on a stretcher by two soldiers.
"Jonah!"
she cried.
"He'll be fine. They say he's all right,"
said Thomas, as Grace watched the soldiers struggling back to the doorway with the big man. Sanders raised a heavy arm towards Grace as he disappeared off between the vehicles.
"They've been talking for a while now," said Thomas,
wearily nodding towards the two groups.
"Once the angel had spoken to Vladich's men, they agreed to talk with the Americans."
"And what's with Alex?"
muttered Grace. The argument seemed centred around him, as Vladić and his men shouted amongst each other.
I don't know," whispered Thomas. "The angel just said that everyone should listen to what Alex had to say. Vladić and his men were furious, even with the angel. I don't know why."
Alex stood quietly in the centre of the group as the arguments raged about him. He stared unblinkingly at the angel, tears glistening upon his cheeks beneath his dusty visor. He seemed to nod imperceptibly towards it. Then he took a deep breath and turned back to his former allies.
"Please," he called quietly. "You must listen."
Vladić stopped his shouting and turned towards the short man. The hatred was clearly written upon his eyes, deep beneath his green goggles.
"You must listen," repeated Alex. "You have been deceived. We've been played off against each other."
"Why should we listen to you?"
shouted Vladić.
You are responsible for the destruction of everything we have striven for. You murdered Dr. Henschel. You betrayed us. I will not listen to any of your lies, Alexei. You deserve death. Nothing more or less.
Let him speak. Thomas's words were quiet but authoritative, and to Grace's surprise, the man fell silent.
I did not kill Dr. Henschel, murmured Alex sadly. He helped me to escape when he realized that he was being manipulated by the entity which led the army to destroy our fortress. Henschel destroyed our array himself when he realized what was at stake.
And just what is that? Cut in one of the American troops.
Frankly, I'm in the dark about the whole of this. Now, I was here to ascertain the threat to our national security.
It seems clear that you aren't part of a British force, as my superior believes, since Major Hawkins is on his way down now.
He nodded back to where a small line of British troops picked their way down from their defensive positions around the Molesworth entry point.
So, he continued, as far as I can see, our government would view you as terrorists, unless, of course, you had some affiliation to...
Terrorists, spat one of Laditch's companions. We've fought for almost 20 years to preserve the field from danger of people like... Sasha.
Laditch held up an authoritative hand.
We haven't time to fight amongst ourselves, pleaded Alex. The army that destroyed our fortress, Vladich. Where is it?
Miloslav looked icily at him in reply.
We left those monsters ransacking the remains of our friends and comrades, he hissed. I do not believe your lies, Alexei. Henschel led us for 20 years. He would not betray his friends. You must send scout ships, Vladich. Please, urged Alex. You too, Colonel, he said, turning to the Americans. And then we must begin the evacuation of the field. They have followed you here, Vladich, said Alex solemnly. Don't ask me how, but I know. They are coming.
You have been listening to The Heaven Field. For more information, downloads, and artwork, visit theheavenfield.com.